of James and finishing up with chapter 4. I'm going to read first in English, then we're going to hear the first part of this in Hindi. Later on, we'll hear maybe the second part in Hindi too, but James 4, 11 through 17. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Now we'll hear that in Hindi. Love Kesh, unmic yourself or unmute yourself.
Hey, Bob. Hi, everyone. This is John chapter 4, verses James 4, verses 11 and 12 in Hindi. Hey, bhaiyo, ek dusre ki badnami na karo. Jo apne bhai ki badnami karta hai ya bhai par dosh lagata hai, vah vyavastha ki badnami karta hai. और व्यवस्था पर दोष लगाता है और यदि तू व्यवस्था पर दोष लगाता है तो तू व्यवस्था पर चलने वाला नहीं पर उस पर हाकिम ठहरा व्यवस्था देने वाला और हाकिम तो एक ही है जो बचाने और नाश करने में समर्थ है पर तू कौन है जो अपने पड़ोसी पर दोष लगाता है.
Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Why don't we read that in Hindi too? Sorry, Love Kesh. Carrie, go ahead.
Yeah. So you want me to read through till 17?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is James chapter 4, verses 13 to 17.
Or 18, isn't it?
This is 17, up till 17.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. तुम जो यह कहते हो, आज या कल हम किसी और नगर में जाकर वहां एक वर्ष बिताएंगे और व्यापार करके लाभ कमाएंगे और यह नहीं जानते कि कल क्या होगा. सुन तो लो, तुम्हारा जीवन है ही क्या? तुम तो भाप के समान हो जो थोड़ी देर दिखाई देती है फिर लोप हो जाती है. इसके विपरीत तुम्हें यह कहना चाहिए, यदि प्रभु चाहे तो हम जीवित रहेंगे और यह या वह काम भी करेंगे. पर अब तुम अपने डींग मारने पर घमंड करते हो. ऐसा सब घमंड बुरा होता है. इसलिए जो कोई भलाई करना जानता है और नहीं करता उसके लिए यह पाप है.
Thank you. Let's let me just pray one more time. Lord, I pray that you will be our teacher. Make these words come alive and speak to our hearts, whether to challenge us, to encourage us, to rebuke us, to help us know Jesus better, to make us into the kind of people that will glorify you and be a blessing to one another. We ask you, Lord, to that this word would speak into our hearts and lives today. Help us to listen. Help us to learn. I'm not really feeling well. I pray you just help me to be clear. And I pray especially that, Lord, you will be lifted among us and our hearts and minds and faith would be directed towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. These two little paragraphs, I think, have something in common in that they are attacking human pride, abhimand or gamand. They are attacking this natural tendency in us towards pride. And actually, I think the whole chapter is attacking our pride. You remember from last week when Sunny was preaching, James calls on the brothers and sisters in the church that to humble themselves, to repent. God opposes the proud, he says in chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's related to the beginning question that he opens with: what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that your passions are at war with you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. A fundamental problem that you have, that I have, that we all come into this world with, is pride. Abhiman, gaman. There's a good kind of pride, but this is a bad kind of pride. It's thinking too highly of ourselves. It's thinking that we are better than other people. It's thinking that we deserve something, that our rights are not being met, that we're better than others. John Calvin said something like this, that we are all blinded by self-love. We all look for reasons, and we have reasons to be proud of ourselves and to despise other people by comparison. Despise is a really powerful word. It means to dislike and look down upon out of a sense of being superior. To despise something or someone isn't that you just don't like it. It means you look down on it and you dislike it because of a feeling of superiority. He says we all find reasons to be proud of ourselves and to despise others by comparison. He says, I'm almost quoting him. We highlight the faults of others, but we make little or we hold down or hide our own faults. When I see things in myself, I make excuses for myself. When I see the same thing in another, I make it far worse. We highlight the faults of others and make little or minimize our own faults. He says, we all want to tower above the rest. The poor, the rich are over the poor. Nobles are higher than commoners. Masters are above servants. Educated people think of themselves as better than the uneducated. But then he says, but there is no one who does not cherish in his heart some opinion of his own greatness. We all have deep in our hearts, no matter whether we're poor, uneducated, failures, struggling, we all have this idea that we're pretty good people. Each person, Calvin says, carries a kingdom in his heart, in his breast. We're kings. We want to be kings. rulers above others. And that results in, we saw from Sonny's sermon last week, that results in fights and quarrels among you. We desire more than we have. And so that creates creates an atmosphere of competition. Lobh karna, lalach karna, creates competition and fighting. That's the earlier part of chapter 4. But pride also, in verses 11 and 12, James turns to pride showing itself now in our speech. Pride reveals itself in the way we speak. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. This could be also translated as do not slander one another. What's the Hindi translation for slander? Well, set it aside somewhere. To badnam, do not give people a badnam karna, or it could be a ninda karna, or dosh karna. He says, do not speak evil against one another. Do not slander one another. To slander is to say things that are not true and are negative. Speaking evil things that are not true. To gossip is to speak things that are true. Both are bad, but in this case, James is attacking slander. And that's one of the ways pride comes out in our community. We complain, we grumble, we speak evil against, we slander. And James says, don't do it. Badnami mat karo. Dosh lagata mat karo. What's going on when we do that? When we let our negative thoughts and feelings about others flow out of our hearts and out of our mouths, James tells us, we're putting ourselves above our brothers and sisters. We're saying, really, we're better than them. They're screw ups, and we're not. We're fixing ourselves on our thoughts and on their mistakes, their failures, their sins, and forgetting about the fact that we have plenty of mistakes and failures and sins ourselves. It's also a failure to love others. Cannot be loving others while we're judging and complaining and condemning them. And when putting ourselves above others, then the ultimate thing James says, and it's a little funny, we're putting ourselves above the law itself, and that means putting ourselves on an equal footing with God. He says, if you judge your brother, you're not only judging your brother and speaking evil about your brother, you're speaking against the law, the kanun, and judging the law. How's that? What's he mean by that? When I condemn, judge, criticize, do badnam on other people, how am I putting myself above the law, or how am I making myself equal with God? Well, one thing is, Jesus himself said, do not judge. It's part of our commands. By the way, James was Jesus' brother. And you can hear so much of Jesus in this book. And I can't read this and not think about the Sermon on the Mount, where in chapter 7, here's the Hindi translation of chapter 7, verse 1. Dosh mat lagao, ki tum par bi dosh na lagaya jaye. Don't judge, and you will not be judged. And he says, the one who does judge, his standard will be used against him. The measure or standard, the ruler that you use and I use on other people will be used against us. And we don't live up to our own ruler. We don't live up to our own standards, do we? I know I don't. Jesus says, don't do it. When we judge, we're simply denying, we're saying to Jesus, I'm not going to listen to you, Jesus. I'm going to judge others. I'll decide what laws I keep, what laws I don't keep. That makes me on a, that means I'm putting myself in an equal place with God. And he's the only one who can give laws, and he's the only one who can judge, James says. There is only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. I'm not able to save you. I'm not able to save myself. I can't destroy either. Only our God can. When I judge others, I'm putting myself on equality with God. And that's the worst pride there is. So judging others is simply to, first of all, to go against the express, specific, clear commands of Jesus, who tells us, do not judge. When we speak against others, then we're judging others, and we choose to disregard some of God's commands. And that's simply saying, I'll decide for myself what commands I'll keep and what commands I won't keep. And that's putting yourself in God's place. We judge one another, we are taking God's place. Secondly, when we are judging, condemning, speaking evil against one another, we're contradicting the whole message and purpose of Jesus and the gospel. Our gospel, the good news that we live by, our God, our guru, Jesus, is all about forgiveness and grace and renewal and hope and transformation. It's all about sinners, people who are not good, finding love and mercy and welcome from God. He doesn't condemn, he doesn't defame, he doesn't slander us, he doesn't stand back and say, I'm fed up with you. Think about that. Every day we struggle. We get angry with our wife or our husband. We might get angry with our children. We might be fearful. We fall into selfishness. We start doubting God. We let our tongues loose and we say things we wish we hadn't. As Westminster Confession of Faith says, we do daily sin against God in thoughts, in words, and in deeds, every one of us. And Jesus never shakes his head and says, I'm fed up with you. When he was on the cross, he carried every single shameful deed we've ever thought or ever said or ever committed. He's carried our sins in his body on the cross. And he welcomes us as his children, as his brothers and sisters, and we become the children of God our Father. Jesus, the essence of Jesus' life and death is forgiveness, reconciliation, melmelap, and love. It was what he taught over and over again, one of the main themes of his teaching. Welcome other sinners. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and just read a bit of it. 8 minutes. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured against you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Why do you look for the little faults in your brother and you forget to notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you take out the speck from your brother's eye when there's such a log in your own eye? Oh. We must, brothers and sisters, we must learn this grace of Jesus. Learn it first that you've received it from him. I think many followers of Jesus, we walk around not really believing that we are loved by God, or not really believing that he freely, lovingly accepts us. We secretly think we have to somehow earn his acceptance. We become insecure. We become workaholics to try and earn God's love. And in that insecurity, we find it very difficult to then have an open heart towards others. So we must really learn again and again and again. Jesus' death and resurrection covers all our sin. God is completely happy with you and me. He's not standing back to see if we're going to live up to his commands. He is 100% for us. There's nothing more that God could do to make us acceptable to him. It is finished, Jesus said. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He looks at us and he smiles. He will rejoice and sing over you with joy. God is singing over you. And yet, we are cursing one another. We must soak up his grace to us. And let that fill us and overflow from us in grace to others. Another way to say this is our pride has to be broken. We realize that we cannot live up to God's desires, but he did it for us. We are not what we should be, but God loves us anyway, because Jesus covers us. We are wrapped and covered over by the righteousness of Christ. Nothing that we did to deserve it. It's all of grace, and we can be therefore gracious to others. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. The third thing he says about our pride is in the last verses, how we approach life in general. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Consider your life. You're like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. In Spain, where we go on holiday, every morning you wake up and it's always a little bit foggy, a little bit cloudy. And by about within an hour, the sun just burns that off completely, and then the sky becomes just bright blue. There's nothing to that mist. We go through life thinking, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to make these plans, I'm going to accomplish this or that. This virus should be a real kick in our pants, as it were, because all of our plans have had to change. It's a good example that we aren't in control as we think. I mean, whole industries have almost gone out of business. The theater industry, the airplane, the flight industry, the travel industry is suffering. We need to learn that we are weak and utterly dependent on God. That's the point of verses 13 through 18. We need to learn that any gifts we have, any talents we have, any success we have, any skills we have, all of it comes from God. We need to learn that we make our plans, as Proverbs 16, a man's heart plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. A man plans with his heart, but the Lord establishes his steps. We need to learn, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand in vain. Yes, we have to plan. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to guard the city. Yeah, we have to build. But we have to realize that if God is not in it, it's hopeless. And we have to realize that with God in it, all things are possible. So James reminds us, we really should constantly have in our mind, if God wills, by God's grace, I will do this. We're utterly dependent on God, and we need to reflect that in the way we think about ourselves and our futures. In closing, though, and if we don't do that, by the way, one of the symptoms of thinking that we have more power than we do is we'd be full of fear and anxiety. because we're carrying weights that we're just unable to, we weren't meant to bear. So when we think about sending our kids to school, we think about going to work, if you have to leave your home and go to work, or you think about having to leave your home to go shopping, to buy food, or meeting other people. Especially with this virus running around, we can realize God is in control. We are utterly dependent on Him. And we can, you know, we don't live recklessly, but and foolishly, but we don't have to live fearfully either. We don't have to worry. We should be careful. We should wash our hands. What do they say now? Hands, face, and what? Place? Keep, I forget now. Wash your hands, keep your distance, and be careful. But ultimately, it's God is watching over us. Not a hair on our head can be affected except for His will. So we don't have to fear. We don't have to ask astrologers what to do. We don't have to resort to the jadugars or use jadutuna to get through life. We don't need charms. We don't need jadu for protection. We have the Maker of heaven and earth who loves us more than we can imagine, watching over us. I want to end back with our attitudes towards one another and the breaking, pride being broken over thinking that we're better than we are or better than others. I love Thomas A. Kempis for pointing out that we all need grace. And this should make us more patient with others. He says in one of his meditations, turn your attention upon yourself and beware of judging the deeds of other men. For in judging others, a man labors vainly, often makes mistakes, and easily sins. When we judge others, it's a fruitless exercise, he says, and it's often filled with mistakes because we can only see a little bit of the picture, and we easily sin. But he says, when we judge ourselves, we do something that is always profitable. Pay attention, he says, to the logs in your own eye. And don't worry so much about the specks, the problems in your brother's eyes. That's his point. He says, even if we see a person sin openly or commit a serious crime, we should not consider ourselves better because we don't know how long we will maintain our own obedience. All men are frail. All of us are weak, he says, but we shouldn't think anybody is weaker than ourselves. The more we know and understand ourselves, we will know we need God's grace We'll have less time to be looking at other people's faults and mistakes. We'll be thankful for the grace and love that God has just heaped upon us. And we'll be able to embrace and love and welcome other sinners. That's real freedom, and that brings real glory to Jesus. It's what our gospel is all about. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. There is only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. And that God has chosen not to destroy us, but to save us. He's shown us such love and mercy. We have to show it to one another. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you are in control of all things. It's very possible that tonight some of us could die in our beds. It's very possible that tomorrow, while we're on our way to work, we could die in a car crash. It's very possible that any one of us could get, or more of us could get, this virus and die from it. It's very possible. I pray that you would help us to see that we are weak and dependent on you, but I pray it won't make us fearful, but instead make us dependent on you and bold, because we know our lives are in your hands. And Father, you know how we love to gossip. Gupshup. You know how we do chungli, our gossiping. You know that backbiting is in our hearts. You know we like to blame and fault others, but not to accept the blames and faults in ourselves. Oh. And I'm speaking of myself here, Lord, not just, this is not general, this is me. I pray that you will break pride, break this sense of self-righteousness that easily comes upon us, and show us the extent of our sin, but also the extent of your love and mercy to us. I pray that New Life Masigar, I pray for Swartha Sangha, I pray for Shepherd's Bush, I pray for your church, Lord, that we would not be hypocrites, but that we would be broken people, saved and put together by you and by your grace. I pray that this would enable us to love and accept one another, to speak hard words to each other, to correct each other, but with gentleness, to speak the truth in love, but not to condemn or reject one another. We pray that this would happen to the glory of Jesus and for the good of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.